Every Christian believes in the empty cross because it was that cross that Jesus hung on. He was taken off that cross. And he died once and for all so that we might have eternal life. But I'd also like for us to just reflect a little bit on the Garden of Gethsemane. I've chosen to talk about the oil press. A number of years ago, I was looking through an antique store. I believe it was in Northern California. My wife and I, when we go on vacation sometimes, you know, we'll be driving along and she'll go, oh, and I know exactly what that means. It either means ice cream or antiques, one or the other. So, you know, whenever that happens, you know, I slow down as fast as I can. I don't want to, you know, get rear-ended or anything. And I pull over and turn around or back up or whatever takes place. And as she was looking, of course, through the antique dishes and stuff like that that she likes to look at, I was kind of digging around the back room because I often find that the best treasures are the ones that are hidden somewhere. They're in the back room, you know, and out of sight. And as I was looking back there, I came across something that I had really never seen before. It was an interesting contraption. It was made out of wood, and it was cylindrical. And on the top, it had a big metal sort of like a bar. And then there was this thing that had threads on it and a big handle on the top of that. And I looked at that thing, and I thought, I wonder what that is. You know, that's interesting. It's obviously made to press something, to smash something down, because you put things in it, and then you press it down. So I finally got the courage to go and ask the owner of the store. I said, is that a grape press? Is it for making wine? Or no. He said, that is an olive oil press. How appropriate that the meaning of Gethsemane is oil press, where the oil is pressed. During the time of Jesus, I envisioned it as a place where people grew their olive trees, and there in that place was also an oil press. Maybe not exactly the kind that I found in the antique store, but needless to say, anytime you're going to get oil out of olives, you're going to have to smash them. You're going to have to press them hard. Gethsemane, to all Christians, is a place of soul-wrenching suffering, a place where Jesus suffered. He was being pressed down by the weight of our sins. Jesus himself had never sinned. Jesus himself had never felt the tremendous burden that sin weighs on a person's heart and their soul. And now the burdens of all of our sins were being laid upon him, and they were pressing him down, even to the point, as he said himself, even to the point of death. A place of intense suffering. Long before the Roman soldiers lay the scourge upon his back and the blood came forth from the wounds, long before his face was struck with rods and sticks and hands, long before his face was spat upon, long before the crown of thorns was laid upon his head and the blood trickled down his face, long before the nails pierced his hands and his feet, Jesus suffered for you and for me. And that suffering was in Gethsemane. Because it was during that time of suffering that Jesus felt an immense chasm, a gulf between him and his Father. It's interesting that not too long before the Gethsemane experience, in Mark chapter 10, verse 35, records for us that James and John came to Jesus and they wanted to be kind of set up as his second in command. They wanted to make sure that their political career was solid. And so they came to Jesus and they asked him and they said, you know, we would like to be second in command. And it's interesting, Jesus begins to interview them for the job. Verse, if you have your Bibles with you, you can look at Mark, the 10th chapter. The story is found there. And it's beginning with verse 37. It says, they replied, let one of us sit at the right hand, and the other at the left hand in your glory, Jesus. And Jesus replied and he said, you don't know what you're asking. And here's the interview. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We don't like to suffer, do we? It's not one of those things we look forward to. It's not one of those things we ask for. It's not one of those things that we take a whole lot of pleasure in. And Jesus is asking these two disciples who have come and said, we want to be, you know, part of your kingdom. We want to be one on the left hand and one on the right hand. We would like to be second in command, kind of co-vice presidents, if you don't mind, Jesus. And Jesus said, are you ready for the job? Because here is the job. You will drink of the cup. And they knew exactly what he was talking about. Because in Jewish tradition, the cup of sorrow, the cup was symbolic of sorrow or the wrath of God. It was symbolic. They knew exactly what he was saying. Are you ready to be baptized with the baptism that I am to be baptized with? In other words, he's saying, are you ready to die? Are you ready to suffer? Are you ready to die? Interesting, you know, I always thought that Peter was the brazen one. But these two disciples, James and John, they were, oh yes, we're ready. Sure, we can do that. We can drink the cup. No problem. Jesus ends the interview by assuring them that they would indeed drink of the cup and they would be baptized. And if we jump ahead in history, we find that both of these disciples, of course, did indeed suffer for the name of Jesus. They suffered for the sake of the gospel. And they laid down their lives. But much had to happen between the passage here and they're actually getting to the point where they were really ready. Because they would soon, not long after, they would soon flee. And they would run from suffering. They would run from pain. They would run in fear. But now we look ahead and we jump ahead of this passage of Scripture and we go to Gethsemane. Jesus is being pressed down by the weight. He is being crushed. Great drops of blood like sweat run down his face and fall upon the rock that he is now laying there, helpless, powerless. The angels come to his side to encourage him and try to strengthen him. And he cries out to his Father, if you could just take this cup from me, if it's just possible to take away this suffering, would you please do that? Isn't that what you and I would probably say? If there's just some way, God, that you could take this suffering out of my life, if there's just some way that you can take that away from me, please do that. And Jesus suffered. it's a good thing at the end there that Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Because that is why he came. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. He came to fulfill the plan of salvation. And it's for our sake, it's for our blessing, it's for our good that Jesus suffered in Gethsemane. Yes, he carried the weight of our sins and crushed his very soul there in Gethsemane. I asked myself, what gives Jesus suffering such power? I believe it's because of his willingness to endure suffering. His willingness to do that without anger. His willingness to do that without hatred. His willingness to do that without seeking revenge and with a sense of passion and a prayer of forgiveness for those that are bringing the suffering upon him. Gethsemane and Golgotha shows the suffering of Christ, not the suffering of humanity. Gethsemane and Golgotha shows the suffering of Christ. We're not called to give our lives as a ransom for someone else. We're not called to give our lives so that someone else might live eternally. Because that has already been done. Done by the only one that could fulfill that calling. He died on a cross for you and for me. And we today stand in the shadow of the suffering of Christ. The suffering of Christ. For us, that suffering is a blessing and it is a gift of eternal life. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, talks about suffering. He talks about it as being a mark and a blessing. Martin Luther said, look for the kind of faithfulness you see demonstrated at the cross. Look for people who are enduring persecution, hardship, danger, death, because they will not compromise in their faithfulness to God. And you will have found the people of God. So like the first Christians, let us rejoice if we are called to suffer for the name of Jesus. If we are called to suffer for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was willing to suffer for you and for me. Therefore, we have hope. We have hope. We have eternal life.